If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter begins by saying, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." He said, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you." Then he said, "In both." And one of my first questions in looking at this again, both of what? I think both of the epistles. He's saying, in 1 Peter, I was doing this, and now I'm doing this. What is he doing? In which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Do y'all have any trouble remembering? Now, I didn't do that on purpose. I forgot to start that. That was not a sermon illustration. I really forgot. And it hit me right about the time I got up here, and then it distracted my thoughts that I had not started the CD. And Sister Janelle and her family's been so faithful in distributing those. And we try to start that in the middle of the song service. And I got singing the songs of Zion and enjoying them and thinking about the words we were singing, which we should be doing. And I forgot. We all need reminders, don't we? I found at the office, if I want officers to show up to something, you don't just send out an email announcement. You better remind them. Because if I don't, and it's a function I think we should all be at and support, I'll be the only one there. We need reminders. This has been probably about a year ago, we have a district security meeting at the courthouse, and one of our judges is chair of that committee. And there's several judges on it, and the U.S. Marshal's on it, and I'm on it, and several of the leaders in the courthouse, the U.S. Attorney, and representatives from their office, and representatives from the Congress People's Office, and so there's a lot of folks in there. Well, I meant to put a reminder in my phone, but I did not. And so a couple of minutes after the meeting was supposed to start, I get a call and said, "Mark, are you planning to come up here?" And it instantly hit me, and I moved very quickly and got up to the sixth floor. I was in the building and got to that meeting, but I was very embarrassed because I forgot. It's very easy for us to forget things, and we need reminders. Sister Emily, to me, does a very good job of using the reminders in the calendar in her phone. And somehow, because we originally had the same Apple ID, our calendars are meshed. And to be very honest, sometimes it gets a little annoying because I'm getting all of her stuff and she's getting all of my stuff, and sometimes it can be a lot of stuff. But you know, she puts reminders in her phone to pray for people. And the same people she's praying for, I need to be praying for. Sometimes in the middle of the day, that reminder will pop up, "Pray for this person. They need our prayers." And I thank God at those times that our calendars are meshed, because I get a reminder of something I need to do. We all need reminders. The Apostle Peter said, "The reason I'm writing this unto you, the reason I wrote 1 Peter," and we know again, it's not Peter's words, it's the words of God, but the Lord used him as the penman. And he said, "The reason I now write unto you And the reason I wrote 1 Peter unto you is because I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now that word stir up is an interesting word. It means to arouse. It means to awake. And he's trying to stir up a particular part of us. You know, we can get stirred up in a bad way, can't we? We can get stirred up in a bad way. We've been reminded of that as riots plagued our nation over the last couple of years. That's folks stirred up in a bad way. I'm reminded of when the Jewish leaders got folks stirred up when Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was brought before Pontius Pilate. And you remember Pilate wanted to release Barabbas unto them. Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was a seditionist. So Barabbas was a very bad and violent man. And Pilate knew, he said, this time of year at the Passover, it's customary for me to release a prisoner unto them. The Bible tells us that Pilate knew that for envy the Jewish leaders had delivered the Lord Jesus. Pilate would three times say that the Lord Jesus had done nothing wrong. He would say three times that the Lord Jesus was just. He knew that for envy they had delivered. So he said, surely, when I offer to release a prisoner to them, surely this one that's been delivered, that's really done nothing wrong, this one that's really a just man, the one that Pilate would say, why, what evil hath he done? Surely they'll say, release the Lord Jesus. That's not what they said. The Jewish leaders had stirred them up. They didn't want the Lord Jesus. They were stirred up in a bad way, in a fleshly way. And Pilate said, would I release unto you Barabbas? Would I release unto you Jesus? And they said, no, release unto us Barabbas. And he said, well, what then do I do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. They had been stirred up by the Jewish leaders in a bad way. We go back to the city of Sodom. We'll see where God Almighty had sent two angels into that city to destroy it. The wicked men of that city come to where those angels are in the house of Lot. And they're stirred up in a wicked, evil, and violent way. And they want to take those angels and do things very wickedly and very cruelly and very ungodly unto them. They're stirred up in a bad way. God Almighty protects those angels, protected Lot. So we can get stirred up in a bad way. This time about being stirred up in a good way. Our pure minds stirred up. Now, how do we have a pure mind? We only have one because we've been blessed to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way we have a pure mind is because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke unto us with his life-giving voice and said, Leo, and he translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son in the new birth. And he gave us a pure mind. That pure mind needs to be stirred up. That pure mind can get a little sleepy. Again, that word stir up means to arouse, to wake up, to awake, to rouse to activity. Sometimes our pure minds can get a little sleepy and they need to be aroused to the good things of God. You know, I've got some little powder packets that are little electrolyte packets. And back, Brother Sonny and Sister Shan Huckabee were staying with us a few months ago, and my legs sometimes get restless. I don't know if that ever happens to y'all, but my legs will get restless sometimes. And that's sometimes a precursor to, if my legs are restless before I go to bed, some point in the night I get a leg cramp and I'll find myself standing straight up in the bed. Sister Emily, I wonder what's going on. There's not a snake in the bed. I've got a cramp and I had to stand up like immediately. But I found if I feel that restless legs coming on, if I take some of that little electrolyte powder, it helps with that. But you know, if I pour that in a glass of water, it all goes to the bottom. The stuff that's going to help me is on the bottom and it needs to be stirred up. And our pure minds need to be stirred up. The good things that the Lord has put within us, that pure mind that He's given us, needs to be stirred up. And Peter said, the reason I'm writing this is to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He said, I'm going to tell you some stuff you know, but you need to be reminded of it. You need to remember it, and you need to be stirred up by it. That's why a lot of our ministers will preach the same subjects again and again, especially on the fundamentals of the things we believe, because we need to be reminded of those things. We need to be established in those things. We need to be stirred up. The Apostle Peter also mentioned similar things there at the very beginning of this book. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, just one page over, my Bible says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. He said, I'm going to tell you something you know, but you need to be reminded of it. I need to put you in remembrance of it. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. You know, to be reminded of things help us to be established in those things. You know, some of the greatest, well, some of the sermons I remember most in my life is where something was repeated again and again and again. I remember a sermon Elder Doyle Hurst preached one time at the camp meeting, and the subject of his sermon was how weak and how frail we are in the flesh. And he kept repeating this statement, we're so weak. He said that again and again and again in that sermon. I don't know how many times I didn't count. But you know, I remember that sermon to this day. He established that in my mind. I know man's weak, but his bringing it to my remembrance again and again justified just in my mind just how weak I am. He said, yea, I think it meet, I'm continuing to read in 2 Peter 1, yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle. By that he means this body, this old tabernacle of clay. Peter said, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. You know, we're still blessed by the ministry of men even after they're gone. And that's a blessing. I'm going to tell you, you can look on the internet and see many an old Baptist minister that has gone on to be with the Lord, that we are still benefiting from things they preached even today. That's what Peter's saying. He said, even after I'm gone, even after I passed away from this life, even after my tabernacle is gone and this body of clay is gone in the ground, even after that, he said, I want you to remember what I preached. I want you to remember the things, the truth of the Lord Jesus that I presented to you. We go back to 1 Peter. He also emphasizes this truth. Verse 12, it says, unto whom it was revealed, he's talking about the Old Testament prophets, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. He's saying that these Old Testament prophets, a lot of what they were prophesying was about the Messiah that would come, about the Lord Jesus that would come, about the sacrifice he would make, about him washing away our sins in his own precious blood. But those prophets would not see that day, but they prophesied about that day. And he's saying, but we're blessed in the New Testament church. We've seen the manifestation of the Messiah that would come. We've seen that he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. We've seen his perfect sinless life. We've seen that he went to Calvary's tree and fought the greatest victory that's ever been fought over sin, Satan, hell, and death, and reigned victorious on the cross of Calvary. We've seen it. We're in the New Testament age. And that's what he's talking about. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, those of us in the New Testament age and the gospel age, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's the power of the gospel. Not men trying to preach it, but the power of the gospel is because it's with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's the power of the gospel. Is God Almighty when he blesses it. He said, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, I'm going to tell you, the angels are interested in what we're doing here today. They desire to look into the good news of the gospel. They desire to know the intricacies of what Jesus did for us. You know, that's amazing. Because the Bible nowhere ever says Jesus came to die for angels. He did not. He came to die for us. But I want to tell you, it's such a sweet message. Even to the angels, they desire to look into it. That word look into has the literal phrase of literally gazing, as we would gaze down into a well of water to try to look deep into it and see all the magnificence of it. The angels desire to look into the good news of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. He said, wherefore, knowing these things are true, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, in Bible days, because of the robe-type garments they would wear, when folks went to work, they had to gird themselves up. They had to gather up that robe and gird themselves with a belt to get ready to work, to get ready to labor. He said, get your minds ready to work. We got at least a couple of teachers in the congregation today. My teachers used to always tell us, put your thinking cap on. Y'all ever been told that? Put your thinking cap on. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready to think. This is important stuff. Think about it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. We usually think of a sober man, somebody that's had no alcohol, somebody that's not drunk, and they're thinking clearly. He said, think clearly. Gird up the loins of your mind. Think clearly and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, you be thinking about the grace the Lord's brought. And I'm going to tell you, we've been blessed by knowing the true gospel of the Lord Jesus We've been blessed to know about the grace of God and the hope that the Lord Jesus has brought to us. We've been blessed to know, as we've heard the gospel preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, we've been blessed to know the great victory, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and we've been blessed to hope. He said hope to the end. You know, we have that sweet hope in the gospel, but we also have that sweet hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And the end of all of our hope, the consummation of everything the Lord Jesus has done for us, will be totally and completely consummated when the Lord Jesus Christ visibly and bodily comes again. He said, you hope to the end. We're blessed with a hope now in the gospel age. But he said, you keep hoping, you hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been blessed to have the Lord Jesus revealed to us in the gospel. But I'm going to tell you one sweet day. These eyes will see. One sweet day. Bodily, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. We're blessed to see him now through an eye of faith. But I'm going to tell you, we'll be blessed one sweet day like Job was. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after skin worms destroy this body, he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job's talking about a time where this old body of clay would be decayed and the worms would eat it. But he said, I'm going to have a new body. Those skin worms destroy this body. He said, yeah, in my flesh I'll see God. He said, I'm going to have a new body one day. And in my flesh, with my physical eyes, I'll see my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my Redeemer. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. What a day that will be. We sing that song, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand. We'll be with him bodily, body, soul, and spirit. We will be have been made like unto our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer. When he comes again, we'll be raised from the dead. He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day. Glorious day of the day. I'll take that when he leads me through the promised land, that he just keeps leading us through, because we ain't never leaving there. And he takes us through and we see the grandeur and the majesty of our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. What he's blessed us with in heaven and immortal glory. He goes on back in 2 Peter 3. He said, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful. He's going to tell us what we need to be thinking about. We're mindful of something. It's what we're thinking about. Somebody says, Brother Mark, you need to be mindful of this. They're saying, put your thoughts on this. Think about this. That she may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. That's the Old Testament. And of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. That's the New Testament. Who did the Lord use to pen the New Testament? The apostles. Peter, James, John, Apostle Paul. So he's saying, put your mind on the Old and the New Testament. Read every day the Old and the New Testament. Put your mind on the Old and the New Testament. You know, and there's a lot of ways we can do that. We can do that by reading. You know, I know some folks, they get to the point in their life, they can't read anymore. Their eyes won't let them. You know, you listen to the Word of God. You know, on a few-hour trip, I've got a little app on my phone. I like Alexander Scurby's voice reading the King James Bible. It is amazing how much Bible you can listen to in a short amount of time and be mindful of the words of the Old and the New Testament. He said, remember it, be mindful of it. He said, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Scoffers are mockers. Those that make fun of the Lord, that make fun of the Lord's people, that make fun of the Lord's book. You know, when I was a little boy, I didn't see near as much of that as I see today. Now people openly mock the Son of God. They openly mock the Word of God. They openly mock the Lord's people. They make fun of them in mockery, in blasphemy. He said, there's coming in the last day scoffers, mockers. How are they walking? After their own lust. They're doing whatever they want to do when they want to do it. They're walking after their own lust. You see what he's setting the stage for us? For us to know the Bible so well, we'll be able to tell if something's different. Remember that counterfeit money I tried to alluded to in a sermon not long ago? To know real money so well, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ so well, the truth of the Word of God so well, that we can tell it from something that's different. See, these people are walking after their own lies. And they're saying, where is the promise his coming? You know what's kind of unspoken there? Jesus ain't coming back. He said he was, but he's not. You know, that's the way the devil operates. You remember,
we need to keep this down a little bit.
You remember what the devil did in the Garden of Eden? He first of all told Eve, he said, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He got her to question the Word of God. Did God really say that? You know, scoffers do that today. Did God really say this? You know, it's been a long time since those words were written. Somebody's probably messed it up. Did God really say this? Do you know what the devil did shortly thereafter? She said, yeah, God said it. God said if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll die. Then you know what the devil did? He got a little bolder. He not only tried to get her to question the Word of God, now he just comes out and calls God a liar. He said, ye shall not surely die. He said, God said you're going to die, but ye shall not surely die. Now that's where we are today. That's how bold the wicked of this world is. Where is the promise of his coming? He's not coming. Then they say this, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. He said, there, I'm like, that never happened. The flood that consumed the world, they're acting like that never happened. You know, the flood, by the way, explains a whole lot of stuff. You know, a lot of the things that so-called scientists of this world say take millions and millions and millions of years. Back in 1980, when Mount St. Helens erupted. It was proven a lot of that stuff that the so-called scientists of this world said took millions and millions of years, they saw happen in a day, because the right circumstances, the right conditions just had to happen for it to happen quickly. When there was a catastrophic flood, worldwide flood, the Bible said the fountains of the deep were broken up. The windows of heaven were open. There was all kind of things going on. Very volcanic eruptions and the fountains of the deep being broken up and the plates of the earth shifting and water coming up from inside the earth and water coming down. And a lot of the things we see in our world didn't take billions and billions of years. The flood explains it. But they don't want to talk about a flood. It says they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to believe in a flood. Now, why would a wicked person not want to believe in the flood? Why did the flood come? God's judgment. God's judgment. Does the wicked want to think about God's judgment? No, they don't. No, they don't. What did the Lord tell Noah before the flood? He said the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Does it kind of sound like now with a lot of folks? Does. I'm going to tell you, God's going to judge every single sin. He's either already judged or he will judge it. And I'm going to tell you, every single sin that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for on the cross of Calvary, every single sin he didn't die for, will be judged totally and completely at the last day. It will. Now, the good news of the gospel for us is that every single sin of every one of us is the children of God, the born-again, elect family of God, that every single sin we ever have committed or will commit, he washed away in his own precious blood, and that was already judged by God the Father on the cross of Calvary. What a blessing that is. What good news that is for us as the people of God. He said, but the heavens and earth, which are now, he said the world hadn't continued as it were from the beginning, but it was changed dramatically during the flood of Noah, the worldwide flood. Bible describes it as a worldwide flood, and geological evidence shows it was a worldwide flood. He said, but the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, what word? Word of God. Who sent the flood? God. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, the word of God, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It says the world is now, it's being kept by the word of God. You know, there's a lot of folks in the world that's afraid men's fixing to destroy the world. Let me tell you something, this world is kept by the word of Almighty God, and man has not the ability to destroy it. Now, let me say this. We need to take care of God's creation. The Lord gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air. He gave us dominion over his creation. And we ought to take care of what God's given us, whether it's our children, whether it's the physical possessions we have. We ought to take care of what God has given us and value it. Is something precious. But I'm going to tell you, this world's not going to be destroyed until God Almighty says it's going to be destroyed. He's going to be the one to destroy it. Man's not going to destroy this world, but God Almighty, it's kept by His word, reserved unto fire. You remember God Almighty said, I'll never again flood the earth. He said, I'm never going to destroy the earth with a flood. And He gave us a sweet symbol of that promise. It's a rainbow. We look in the sky and we see a rainbow. We kind of see it as half a ring. If you're up in an airplane, you see it as a full circle. Reminds me of the wedding ring we have in wedding ceremonies. God made a promise, and that promise is never going to end. He always keeps His promises. The scoffers say, where's the promise of His coming? He's not going to keep that promise. God always keeps His promises. We can rest sure in the promises of God. He said it's kept in store, never again to be flooded by water, but it's kept in store in the fire. One day, this earth's going to burn up. One day, this earth's going to be destroyed by God. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God doesn't view time the way we do. Somebody may say, it's been over 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus Christ has come upon the earth. That's a long, long time. To God, that's just day before yesterday. God sees the end from the beginning. Now, I'm one that believes in a literal 24-hour day creation. I believe that because Genesis says every day for those 6 days, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning were the third day, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Brother Mark, why'd you repeat that so many times? Because God Almighty repeated it that many times. Book of Genesis. Jews started their day in the evening. You say evening, morning, evening, morning, evening, morning, evening, morning. What's that? 24-hour day. Evening, morning. So I believe in 24-hour days. I believe in a literal 6 days of creation, and the Lord rested on the seventh day. But I'm going to tell you, God views time differently. He knows the end from the beginning. He's always has been. He always will be. And to Him, the Lord Jesus just came day before yesterday. He doesn't view time like we do. One day we'll view time differently. When we've been there 10,000 years, we won't view it as we would have 10,000 years here. He said, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Now that word slack means slow. The Lord is not slow. You remember how Revelation ends? Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord Jesus, when it's time for Him to come, He's going to come quickly. When it's time for Him to come. 1 Corinthians 15 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How quick is that going to happen, that Jesus comes? How quick? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Didn't say the wink of an eye. I can see how quickly a wink happens. You can't really see how quickly the twinkling of an eye happens. You know, one time God sent an angel to Daniel in the book of Daniel, and it said while Daniel was praying, God Almighty from heaven dispatched that angel You know how an angel got there while Daniel was still praying? You think of all the distance it is from heaven and the mount of glory to right there where Daniel is. I'm going to tell you, that angel moved faster than we could ever imagine. I'm going to tell you, I believe God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is even faster than the angel that God sent to Gabriel. He's not slack. The Lord's not slow concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward. To usward. Now, who's the usward? Let's go to the beginning of 2 Peter, and we'll find out. Who's the usward? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them. He's telling who he's writing to. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's writing to little children of God that have obtained like precious faith like he had. He said, he's long-suffering to usward. You know why the Lord Jesus hadn't come back yet? Because he's long-suffering to usward. And I'm going to tell you, every heir of promise, everyone that the Lord Jesus Christ died for on the cross of Calvary will come into this world and will have been born again before Jesus returns. You know why? Because when Jesus comes, he's not leaving any little child of God behind. Nobody of the little children of God will be left behind when Jesus comes. And the Lord knows when that last heir of promise will come. When I'll be born again by the precious voice of the Lord Jesus. He said, the Lord, but his long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. Talking about any of the sheep. Some have misunderstood this verse and say, well, the Lord's saying he's just waiting to come back and waiting to come back so a dead alien sinner could try to make some decision for Christ and get themselves born again so that they may go to heaven. That's not what these verses are saying. He's saying it's to usward, to little children of God. A dead alien sinner has not the ability to understand spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, for the natural man, the dead alien sinner, us by nature, before we're born again of the Spirit of God, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Is the gospel of the Spirit of God? You bet it is. Dead alien sinner won't receive that, won't understand that. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he discern them. He can't understand them because they are spiritually discerned. One that's dead in trespasses and sins has no ability to receive the gospel, to believe the gospel. That's not what this verse is saying. But it's saying he's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any of the who, of the usward, not willing that any should perish. None of the usward, none of the children of God, none of the elect family of God that Jesus died for on the cross, none of them are going to perish. Say, give me Bible for that, Brother Mark. John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus would say, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They follow him in the new birth. They follow him in regeneration. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them, who? The sheep, eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He's talking about the same folks here. The sheep. He's not willing that any should perish, any of the sheep should perish, any of the usward should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to tell you, every heir of promise will be brought to repentance in the new birth when Jesus comes again. Let me get through a couple of verses quickly as we bring our remarks to a close. It said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He tells us this earth's going to be burned up. How much do we want to invest in something that we know is fixing to be destroyed? You know, I've had two SUVs totaled in the last several years. You know, after the Suburban was totaled, you know what I thought? I sure am glad I didn't do all this other mechanical work I was thinking about doing. Now, why did I think that? Because you don't want to put money in something that's fixing to be destroyed. Thought the same thing when the Sequoia got totaled. I sure am glad I didn't do A, B, and C that I was planning to do in the future, because you don't want to invest in something that's fixing to be destroyed. How much should we invest in this world? Kind of makes you think about that, doesn't it? Then it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. That word can be melt. Kind of like snow in Mississippi. Enjoy it while it's here, because it ain't going to be here long. It's going to melt. It's going to be dissolved. What's the question he asked? What persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness. You know what that tells me? Mark Quarles needs to be doing less investing in the world and more thinking about what kind of person ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. And what's going to help me do that? These last couple of verses. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. We should be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ's return, anxiously anticipating the Lord Jesus Christ's return, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the other elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise that he always keeps, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are we looking for that? What a day that will be. And I believe this new heavens and new earth is simply what we think of as heaven. And one sweet day, when Jesus comes again, he's going to take us to be in heaven and the water glory, in a place of total and complete righteousness. Wickedness is gone. I love the way Job describes that place. Job 3:16, where he said, as a hidden, untimely birth, I had not been. He's talking about a little baby that dies in the womb, as infants which never saw light. He said, where are they? Where is that infant which never saw light? He begins to describe heaven. He said, there the wicked cease from trouble, and there the weary be at rest. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord Jesus comes, he's taking us to where the wicked cease from troubling, and where the weary be at rest. He's taken us to the place of all righteousness and all glory, of all peace and of all love, where we'll be basking forever and ever in a Savior's love. He said, look for that. Hasten to that. Anxiously anticipate when Jesus comes again. Anxiously anticipate when he raises these old vile bodies to be made like his glorious body, and we'll be just like our Lord, body, soul, and spirit. We'll be made like unto him. Now I'm going to tell you, all that his precious blood purchased for us will be totally and completely consummated when Jesus comes again. We need to be looking for that day, anxiously anticipating that day, and it'll help us live better now. You know the way this Bible ends? Very end of Revelation. Verse 20, the next and last verse in the Bible. He which testifieth these things, that's the Lord, saith, surely I come quickly. I'm going to tell you, when it's time for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, he'll come with all speed. He'll come with the voice of the archangel. He'll come with the trump of God. He said, behold, I come quickly. What's the response of John? Even so, come. Lord Jesus, even so, come, Lord Jesus. May we anxiously anticipate the coming of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, who'll make all things new. We'll be with him, basking in his eternal glory forever and ever and ever. So we look for that day. Hasten to that day. It'll help us live better right now. But God, we bless you, is my prayer.